Hi friends, hello the world. Welcome to this episode of Tools for Transitioning Humanitarians and your host, Asel Ormonova. And today I woke up very early to do this podcast before my day starts with, I think I'm doing 9 sessions today and then moving back to Italy. It's the type of sprint that I haven't done in a while, so it's going to be interesting. So obviously my brain was like, oh my God, it's going to be the most tiring day ever. But then I was thinking, how can I do this in a way that's not tiring, in a way that is with ease and enjoyment? And that's the mindset that I'm going to try today. So the topic that I want to talk about that I see that a lot of humanitarians are asking me, and I have compiled the questions on how to build a thriving coaching practice, which is what I feel like I have done, and I feel very proud of it. And of course, I want to help as many humanitarians as possible in building this as well, in case that's their desire. So that's why if you would like to, build your own coaching practice or similar, or becoming your own boss. A lot of what I will be talking about will be very relevant to you, right? So that's why I think this will be good for people who are thinking, okay, what is outside of the humanitarian sector? What else I can do, especially becoming my own boss? Then this might be an important podcast to listen to. Okay, I have here put down like I think 7 categories of questions, and then I will be answering one by one, and I will be looking at my notes. But also, if you have any questions, of course, please do ask me. You can also join my group coaching where some of the humanitarians are transitioning to becoming coaches, and we're discussing coaching related topics as well. So that's why that would be another place where you could get my support within the group specifically to your situation. Okay, so let's start with the question in terms of setting up the coaching practice first, and then we go into how I have started specifically, and then to working with clients and financial aspects, difficulties, and all of this together. So when I started, maybe I should even start with before I started coaching, why and how coaching was the topic that came to be something that I chose, right? So I think that's something that people were asking as well yesterday when we were talking about someone transitioning to a foundation. The question was, is it you just went for what was available, or it is something that you really wanted to? And even if you wanted to, which of the foundations you chose and why, right? So therefore, I wanted to make it relevant to my situation as well, to say that coaching was something that I used to heal myself from burnout, from depression in 2015, when I had such difficult life period after surgery, and therefore I didn't want to spend a lot of time digging in the past, digging in what's happening. Rather, I wanted to build the future I wanted. Therefore, someone recommended to me life coaching, and I Googled it. And this podcast of the Life Coach School came up, and then I started learning about it, and that's how I became familiar with coaching concept in general. So I've been doing coaching on my own life since 2015. And then when I was deciding to leave my UN job in 2019 and 20. So it took me about 2 years to make a decision. And then 2020, excuse me, when I was like when I have decided that I will be doing coaching, and I will be doing coaching because I really loved it, changed my life in a way that I stopped becoming a victim of my own life, and therefore I decided that this is something that I want to help other people to do that as well. And then in 2020, when I have decided to leave the humanitarian sector, I have saved up about $60,000 so that it would be enough for me and my extended family, at the time, seven families that I was taking care of financially, and it would be enough for at least a year to do that. So that's why that's the practicalities of me having about 60,000 and believing that that would be enough for a year before I start making my own money by doing coaching, right? Even though I had no idea whether it would work and how it would work, but I thought that this is something that I want to do no matter what, and I'm going to make it work. So therefore, that was a savings, and that was the context. I then started learning about setting up my what is it called, company, and also get payments and pay taxes, right? So therefore, the legal or admin parts of the things, the way that I did is I started searching online as to how I can register it in my country, in Kyrgyzstan. And then I also talked to several people in my country, and at the time, some people that I talked to told me that it is not possible to register with the coaching practice that I had in mind. The tax system was not set up, and the other challenge was the payment systems like PayPal or Stripe that I wanted to work with international clients. So therefore, how could I do that? And then the payment system was all of these big payment systems like PayPal and Stripe, they didn't work with Kyrgyzstan because of fraud risks. So therefore, I started looking at, okay, how else can I solve this? Because I continue on to work with international clients, right? So therefore, I have researched and found out that in the US, they allow you to register your company as LLC, limited liability company. And they allow you to register as a non-resident, right? Because I never lived in the US. I had no intention to live in the US. I have no citizenship in the US. Obviously, I continue having my Kyrgyz citizenship. So that's why I then found a company online, which is, I think, called US for Corporations or something like this. I don't remember now the names. So I talked to that company, and they told me that they can help you register. They can help me register this company, and that will allow me to open a bank account for my LLC in the US, and then also regulate my tax situation. So that's what I did. It took me a very short amount, I think about a month, to register. I got my LLC registered in New York State, and yes, and then they did a lot of the documents. Of course, I prepared some of the documents they asked me, and then they registered, and that allowed me to open up my bank account in the US, which is separate from UNFCU, meaning for those who may not know what UNFCU is, it is a UN specific federal bank, I think it's called, and it services UN employees. And I used to have a, or I continue still have that bank, but I wanted a separate bank account for my LLC, and that's how it should be as well. And therefore, I opened up another bank account online as well. Everything is online. And then the tax system in Kyrgyzstan, they said that so I don't need to pay tax in the US because I'm not a resident. I don't need to pay the tax, I think, until a certain limit, and then I need to do that. So I have an accountant in the US. I have also searched that accountant online. My situation is obviously very specific, so that's why I needed some particular accountant. So that's why I went for it. And if you need these contact details, by the way, you let me know. I'm happy to provide you. And then in Kyrgyzstan, I talked to my aunt. I have an aunt who is an accountant, and she advised me on how to do that. There are still a lot of discussions around my situation, but at least paying tax in Kyrgyzstan is possible now. So that's the legal and the tax admin part. And I started, yes, I started. I set it up January 2021 when I started my transitioning journey, the LLC, and then ever since I have that LLC. So that is about the tax and legal parts of how to register. So therefore, if you're thinking about registering your coaching practice, obviously you need to think, see how it is in your country specifically. And I in my situation, the other complication was that I had a non-resident LLC in the US. I pay tax in Kyrgyzstan, but I also live in Italy. So therefore, I also talk to like accountants in Italy who are, I think, called commercialista, so that I can find out if I will be liable in Italy since I live for less than, I mean, several months a year at least. So I did that as well. That part is clear. So therefore you need to think about where you're living. If you're living in a third country, so then registering it in the third country, is it possible? If it's not possible, registering back home and then paying in the third country where you live. So you need to obviously get a help of an accountant to understand and also set it up, right? So for me, it took I think about $1,000 or so for getting it registered, and there were some maybe additional expenses. I don't remember, like another $1,000 at the time. So we're talking about January 2021, right? So you need to obviously check for your own country or your own context, but I just want to talk about how it was in practice of what I did and what my experience was. And then the accountant in the US that I pay, I think about $1,200 every year to do my taxes in the US that I need to still declare, even if I don't pay taxes. And then back home, which is not much. But yeah, these are the practicalities of it. Okay, so the second question that I get a lot is how fast did it work, right? And this is, I think, something that a lot of people are worried about, whether this will be fast or not. And my first client that I signed was January 2021, 17th of January. So, and the reason I remember this is, I think, because you feel so afraid that if it's working, how it's working. And then when you sign the first client, you really remember the day, how it was and what date it was. So that's why I still remember it. And it was a friend's sister who came to get coached from me. So that's how I have started. Now, in the beginning, so that's just to show you that it was that, I mean, you could say fast, I guess, because it was January, the same month that I have started. And it can be that fast as well. And the way that I have started is that I emailed all the people that I knew. I came up with, I think, about 300 email lists. Of people that I knew, and then a lot of people didn't even respond. And I think, I don't know, maybe a handful of 10 people or so responded saying, "Oh, how cute this is that you're doing." And that was really it. And because I was thinking, "Oh my God, now I'm going to email everyone, and then everyone's going to come back and, you know, line up in my door to work with me." And that did not happen. And that's okay. So that's why I really want to I don't know, demystify the process, I guess, in a way that a lot of the things that you may believe it will happen may not happen. A lot of the things that you are afraid will happen also may not happen. It may happen different ways. So get ready. Now, they also asked me about how fast and how stable this work really is, right? So stable financially, obviously, because a lot of people are afraid. And I was talking to a client yesterday, and she was telling me that, well, I have my lifetimes of saving, and if I invest in my own thing and then it doesn't work out, then I will lose everything, and then I'm lost with this new thing. I lost the chance of continuing working for UN, so therefore I don't want to be doing that, right? So in my case, the way that I really approach this is I didn't really approach it from, will I lose it? What if I lose it? Or what if this doesn't work out, then what kind of thing? I approached it from the beginning that this is my $60,000. I want to do this coaching work because that's what I love. I want to really work on the impact that I love. And I don't care how it's going to turn out, but I will make sure that I make it work, right? That's really how I approached it. So, in other words, I didn't give myself any alternatives of, oh, what if then? What if this? What if this? Because I think one of the problems is that a lot of the times we approach things from, what if it doesn't work, then what am I gonna do? Let's see, like very non-committal. And I think if we do that non-committally, then I don't know, the sixth time it doesn't work out, then you just feel so defeated and you just feel like this is not working, and then you want to get out of there, right? So that's why I really recommend whatever it is that you are doing, start with the commitment of, okay, I'm going to make it work. Now, how stable it is, in the beginning, it was very unstable. And it was like some of the months I did make money, some of the months I didn't. And in the beginning, it was also very a small amount that I was not used to, but I didn't care because I had my savings on the one hand, and also I knew that there might be a lot of like learning curves, especially the learning curve that took me a lot of time to realize is that getting like hanging getting good at managing my fear. That was one. And the other one is keep feeling like someone tell me what to do versus I know what to do or I can figure out what to do. So that took me a long time. So that's why stability wise, in terms of the emotional state, I wasn't stable a lot of the times. And therefore, my coaching practice was not either. So that's why I really want us to think about in coaching practice, which is the thing that we do on our own, right? We are in charge of everything, and it may make some people very pressured and stressed out. And therefore, because we're dealing and struggling with our stress, we may not put the input that is necessary to keep the practice stable. So if you want to keep the practice stable, then you need to put the stable input as to marketing, as to doing sales conversation, delivering well, all of those things. You continuously need to do it. Because if you keep doing it inconsistently, right? So one day maybe and one day no, which was the case in the beginning, and therefore the outcome was unstable too. Right. So that's why what makes it stable is your input of keep meeting potential clients, keep talking to them, keep communicating to them online with social media, whatever that means you use, and then keep producing the results that you desire. So that's why, as you know, that I was able to replicate my UN P3 salary, which was the goal. I was able to replicate that, I think, by the third year. And that's why, it took me 2 years to replicate it. And therefore, you can also see that, like in the beginning, it will feel very unstable. And the reason why it's so unstable, later I have really like analyzed a lot, is because I was so unstable emotionally, mentally, intellectually, and all of this. And therefore, my outcomes were unstable as well. So the way that I have approached my results, in order to make them stable, right? Whatever the result is, whether it is the amount of money that I want to make, whether it's amount of number of clients, whatever it is, that result that I wanted, I continuously approach it from I'm in charge of that result, not any circumstances, not anything outside of me. Because the minute I would say, oh my God, I can't make this work because of the circumstances outside, then my brain would abdicate the responsibility and then not want to learn as to how and why I'm not creating the results I want. So that's why I have always approached every result from, okay, how can I be so reliable for the results that I want to, so that I don't blame anyone, I don't blame myself, I don't keep just sitting around and feeling like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing and it's not working. Instead of doing that, okay, I am in charge and responsible for this result that I want to create. And here are my chances of experimenting and finding out how I can create this result, and kept working on it. So, the next question is the fourth question that I think I get a lot is, well, I don't know anything about marketing and it sounds very difficult and all of these things, right? And the question I think is not really whether you know marketing or not. It's more, are you willing to learn about it, right? And I think for many of us, maybe we tend to make things very complicated, very difficult, because we believe that if we label it marketing, then it just sounds like very vague, very like, I don't know, unattainable type of thing. So that's why I really encourage you to be careful about it and instead look at, okay, marketing is, in this case, in the coaching practice, is letting people know, the people that you want to work with, letting people know about you exist and you are ready to work with them, right? So marketing is all about who you are, what you do, how you help solve those problems, adding value about them, and then inviting people to work with you, right? So this is marketing. Now, I did not really spend a lot of time like feeling like, oh my God, what is marketing? Am I marketing well? Is it working? I didn't really spend that much time, but I think what I was really happy about in my marketing is I took the marketing as a creative process of me sharing about my journey of how I have done things, me sharing about how I believe things could be solved, and me always working on problems that my clients were coming up, or before clients were coming up, I was looking at my own journey of what are the problems there were and how I was solving them. And I kept sharing it with people on social media all of the time. So the frequency in which that I used to share and continue doing that now, I think in the beginning, it used to be even several posts a day, several posts a day, and then no post, and then several posts, this kind of thing. But I was consistent in my podcast or in my videos. I did that. I continued doing it once per week podcast ever since I started, even before I started. And I continued doing that. And another video that I do is Random Live, which I added a bit later. I also did collaborations with other people, right? So in terms of like the marketing itself, what I did, I took it very like creatively of thinking through specific questions and answers to that question, specific questions, problems, specific problems that humanitarians are facing, and how I would help them resolve. So those are the problems and solutions I was thinking about. So those are the posts in the form of post, in the form of video, short and long term. But I think I mostly focus on long term, meaning up to 20, 30, like rarely 40 minutes. And then I did collaborations with several other humanitarians who are also coaches. We were talking about different topics. So those were the marketing things that I did and I continue doing. So currently, the way that I do marketing after having learned a lot about the coaching practice is that I do three posts per day. One, a random live, which is a live transmission through several platforms. And then I do podcasts like this one. So in terms of marketing, that's really it, is what I have done all of the time. So it doesn't need to be complicated. Now, in terms of like the way that you can think about it is, in marketing, there needs to be always like two ways to go about it. One is the long-term nurturing of audience, building audience, nurturing audience, right? And the other one is what is it? The immediate signing clients, and how can we sign clients today or this week, and how to do that? That would be another road, right? So in marketing, we need to have both roads going at the same time, and ideally even going with the how to sign the client now first, so that you are taking care of your finances as well while you are nurturing and building. Now, a lot of people in the marketing also ask me, is website important? My answer is it's not. And I feel like it has never been important, at least in my practice. And I did do a website initially in the beginning before I even started my coaching practice. I built my own website 2019, I think, was from scratch by watching YouTube channels. And then I used to post blogs there. And then I used that for, I think, about 2 years. But then I realized that not many people were reading them, and therefore I went to social media fully. And in social media, you may also have questions like, which social media shall I choose? Choose the one where your potential clients are. I have chosen LinkedIn. That's my main platform that I use, and everything else I just copy paste to them. Now, in terms of a niche question, I think that's something that a lot of people ask me is, like, did you niche down immediately? Did you want to, or is it really important to do that? Now, I feel like the in general, you could obviously you could be very successful doing general coaching, or you could also get niched down, whichever is fine. I think both are have potentials to be successful. But the challenge that I've seen with so many people that I've also coached is that when we're not niched down, we get so confused about marketing part. We get so confused about who should I be talking to? Shall I be talking to this person, to this person? I don't know what I will be talking. And then it becomes so inconsistent and also messy, and it's all over the place. And we take somehow a lot of time to recover from it. And therefore, in order not to spend a lot of time on that, my experience has shown that niching down might be an easier path for our own mental state as we are marketing, right? So imagine in the marketing, you have drama about marketing itself already, drama possibly about who you are and what you're doing now, and then drama about niche. Those are a lot of dramas to handle. And therefore, I would say if you don't want to be sitting around and coaching yourself a lot and dealing with drama, then why not at least give yourself a simplified version of, okay, let's focus on this and then focus on that, right? So in my case, in the beginning, I focused on helping people not complain anymore. That was my niche, or that's what I thought I would be doing. And then I realized that a lot of people didn't want to give up their complaining. In fact, they liked it. So therefore, I was like, okay, that's apparently not the problem I'm solving. And then I started learning from other humanitarians that they have seen me as someone who managed to leave UN and who helps leave UN. And then I realized, oh, this is a great niche. And in the beginning, I was, I think, a bit shy how to do it and all of this. But then I, as of 2022, I think I was very serious about that niche. And then I went for it since then. Okay. So the fifth question is about sales conversation, right? And there are also, like, I think a lot of questions and dramas you may have about, oh my God, I don't know how to do sales, I hate sales, or whatever, all of your thoughts about it. And those are the things that you definitely need to get coached on, because without that, you will keep feeling like you will keep getting the clients who will have similar problems and judgments about sales, and therefore it will be very difficult to have that sales conversation. So, the sales conversation itself, the way that it can be structured, and I think a lot of the time this is how it's structured, even in other industries, as to, okay, where we are now, where we are wanting to go, and what is the bridge that we're bridging, and what are the obstacles we're solving so that we can get to that goal that we're pursuing, right? So that's really the way sales conversation works. And then helping the person make a decision if they would like to make a decision, or at least give enough information so they know how to make a decision on their own as well. So, sales conversation is a lot about mindset and energy, I would say, not so much about the actual work itself, or the actual whatever, like, we're discussing. Because if we feel very uncomfortable about ourselves, if we feel very uncomfortable about what we're saying and how we're doing, then it's very likely that we will not get people sign up to work with us, right? So that's why in the sales conversation, three things that need to be working all of the time. That's what I have learned from like a lot of different business owners. So the one is we need to have a belief in ourselves that we are capable of helping these people get to the results we want to. Excuse me. The second one is we need to be also very confident in our own product or service that we're providing to the other person. And then the third one is we need to trust and feel confident that the other person is capable of paying money, is wanting to work with me, with us. So these are the three things that needs to be in place in order for sale to be successful, meaning that the client signs to work with you, right? So the more you get hang of those three things, the more you are able to close and have signed clients. So the sixth question is mindset around how to build this coaching practice. And by the way, I'm going at very high speed. I could have broken down this to many different, but I thought I would just give you an overview of how it could look like. And of course, the details. Come coach with me. I would love to support you going through the whole process to the part where you create that successful coaching practice that you want to. So the mindset of being or building a successful coaching practice, I would say the first number one thing is I have done this myself, therefore my credibility and my confidence in what I have done and how I have done is very different, meaning very solid, than have I just learned things. to do, right? And I think that's something that I can't stress enough is I have gone through all the things that I help my clients to go through. I have gone through all of them myself, and I have also learned how to deal with every of those situations, how to deal with those dramas, how to deal with those emotions, how to deal with those fears, how to make it stable, how to make it certain. All of those things I have gone through myself. Therefore, whenever I think about how I made this successful is I think that was the biggest contribution. I have done it myself. I have worked on creating those results in my life, and therefore I'm able to then help others better because I also understand so much their pain, so much of their worries, and all of what they might be going through. The other mindset that I think that I told you about, which is I believe that I can do whatever I want in life, and this is something that I really want to do, and I'm going to make it work no matter. I don't care, right? So I didn't really do that to see if it works or to see if I can make it work or to see if this can be an alternative, to see if whether I will lose my invested money or not. I have invested a lot in coaching, by the way. I think we're talking in the, I don't know, 300s of dollars or maybe more easily. So over the years, right? So therefore, I never doubted about this journey or this path. I was like, no, I'm making this work. I don't care because alternative is doing things that I don't believe in and doing things that I don't really see the impact of for the rest of my life feels a lot worse than doing and figuring this out. So therefore, I approach this way with very much commitment, with I'm all in, and like no matter who says what, I'm gonna make it work. This is how I've approached it. I have also approached it the mindset of like I'm in charge. And I use that as a thrilling way, I think, meaning that not as, oh my God, I'm now in charge. I have to make everything work. How am I going to do this? Right? That would have been a lot difficult journey, but rather I approached it as this is my freedom. I get to do whatever I want, however the way I want, whichever the way. I get to test it, experiment it, and I'm all for it. And that's how I've approached it. And I really recommend you to do that as well. So therefore, a lot of the things that I have done, I've approached it as this is a creativity time, and I'm going to get creative about what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say. And of course, some of the days were not feeling that way, and that's fine. But in general, that was the mindset that helped me a lot to make it very successful. And the other mindset I had, which was I was very sure that I would replicate my UNP3 salary from the beginning. I didn't even I wasn't even thinking that it wouldn't be a possibility. I was like, I can do anything I want. I'm in charge of my results. So, whatever the result line I want to see, I'm going to make it happen, right? So, that's what my mindset was. And that's the mindset that I have, of course, built myself into. It's not something I had it from birth. In fact, I had all the opposite ones, but I have, through coaching, train myself to have that mindset. Now, the seventh question, the last one, and I'm apologizing that it's taking a bit longer than I expected. The seventh one is what difficulties I faced and failures I faced, right? And like how to deal with it. And I think I've been talking a lot about how to deal with this problem and that problem for a long time. So therefore, I will not be diving much into it. But I do want to mention some of the failures or things that will feel like failure come up. And you need to like expect them versus feeling like, oh my God, this is not how I thought it would be, which at times it did feel like it to me, right? So some of the failures that I think, or things that your brain will label as failure, is when you are not getting amount of money that you're expecting at the end of the month. Maybe when you are not, like when you're expecting, your employee mind will be expecting the same amount of money every month. And in the coaching practice, it may not happen. Some of the months may happen, some of the may months may not happen, or less than you expected. And that will put you a lot in the turmoil situation, in the emotional turmoil, right? So therefore, learning to like detangle your emotional state from the money that's coming in or from the savings that's dwindling is such an skill, important skill to learn, and that will feel like a failure. Another one is, I think that is so like obvious, is that when clients or potential clients say no, and they keep saying no after like one after the other, and then you just feel like, my God, this is all like very hard and difficult. And especially if you have fear of rejection issues, which I did, then it will feel even more painful, and your brain will be labeling it as a failure, right? So, or like you did a webinar and no one showed up, and that happened to me so many times. And then you just feel like, why bother? What's the point? And all of those things. I've gone through all of them. So please do expect those things to happen. And in the beginning, also, not signing client, and not signing client, and not signing client, and then possibly signing client, and then them changing their mind, them ghosting you, them starting and then changing their mind. All of this may happen, and I have gone through all of those as well, and those will feel like failure. And in those moments, the thing that helped me go through and continue doing it anyway is A, because I had the mindset of, I'm going to do this no matter what anyway, because this is what I love, and I'm willing to solve whatever the failures that I'm experiencing, I'm willing to solve. And most importantly, in order for me to help those people in the like living the life they really desire and they really love, this is worth for me solving it. That's what I how I approached it. No matter like what my feelings are and what my failure fears and all of this, on the other side of things, if I can help people live their lives the way they love, if I can help them live with their loved ones while doing the thing they love and getting paid well for it, if I can get them to those results, then it would be worth solving whatever the problem in between, and I'm willing to solve it. That's how I have approached it. And therefore, I highly recommend for you to do that too, is would it be worth solving these failures so that on the other side, you have an immense fulfillment of helping so many people get to what they would like to, and seeing how that's like how their lives have changed forever to the direction they love, would that be worth it? And in my mind, it is absolutely worth it. And therefore, I'm willing to solve whatever the problem in between me and me getting my clients to those results. So that's how I have overcome a lot of these failures and continue to overcome them. Okay, my dears, I hope that in this short period, I was able to give you an overview and answer your questions specifically. If you would like to work on this with me, please do come coach with me in my group coaching. Enrollment is ending tomorrow, 31st of May, and we are working on getting the successful, thriving coaching practice that you like, and then getting it functional and living from it. And that's all we can do together, the whole process. And my group coaching is a lifetime of support for humanitarians who transition. Therefore, we will do that as much as you need it to get to successful state. Okay, message me or email me at acel at complaintfree.life. And in the meantime, have a beautiful week. Bye.